Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, the portrait that the Lord has put on my heart today from one of the series I did back in 2023 is called He is Our Baseline Peace. It's number 93 if you're taking notes, and if you want to go back to my archived broadcast, which I have on my website at markpg.org, markpg.org, it's called Helping You Hear God. This particular one goes really deep. There's going to be 16 hallmarks of this, and as you know, if you've been tuning in lately, I'm doing kind of a series on the series that I've done before. I'm doing one message overviews of these longer series, and this one is a four-part series I did back in August of 2023. And I hope you're enjoying those. We've done things like He is Our Deeper Dive, He is Our Family Pastor, Our Creative Healer, Our Rescuing Trust, Our Ultimate Truth, Our First Shepherd, Our Empowering Rest, which was last week. And now we're going to talk about how the Lord is our baseline peace. That's the portrait we're going to be really going through the scriptures and seeing so clearly, especially during some tumultuous times that we're living in right now. Oh my goodness, what's going on in our country and around the world? It can be overwhelming when you stop and think about it, but that is all the more reason to remember that at the end of the day, bottom line, the Lord Jesus is our baseline peace. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to start over in Ephesians 2. But then we're going to go to Romans 15 and John 14 and Romans 8 and Matthew 5 all over the place and see this marvelous portrait of God as our baseline peace. And as we get started, as is our custom, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, thank You so much for the privilege You have given me over all these years just to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet as I do my best to unfold the truths that You have for us in Your love letters, Your scriptures to us, that gives us these marvelous portraits of who You are and what You're like. And boy, today, I know I need it. A lot of stuff's been going on in our family and in our town and in our country and in this world. And, whoo, my goodness gracious, what a joy to know that we can find ourselves sitting at Your feet knowing You're our baseline peace through it all. So thank You, Lord, for what You want to share with us today. May it rest deep in our hearts that we may draw upon it and walk it in this life. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends. Well, we're going to have these 16 takeaways, and I know that we're going to have to go through fairly rapidly to get through it in this 27-minute broadcast. And the intention is to give you a glimpse of how He is our baseline peace, but also perhaps draw you to go and check out the series, that four-part series on my website at markpg.org, as the Lord may lead you. So let's start our journey together over in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to see how the Lord, our baseline peace, shows us that, number one, peace is most deeply Christ Himself. Peace is most deeply, comma, Christ Himself. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14 puts it this way. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. I think this is a tremendous place to start our list of 16 things about peace, because it reminds us that at the end of the day, it is Christ Himself, His presence within us, our walking in the presence of the Lord, where we will most deeply find peace in the midst of the tumultuous world in which we live, tumultuous hearts that we can sometimes struggle with, because it's not so much a knowledge and being orderly. It's not about the scripture itself. These are, you know, the scripture is a tool to help us see the Lord himself. And it's Jesus personally, his presence in our life personally, that most deeply is our peace. So we're going to see more of that theme as we go along, but that's a great way to start it. And that's number one for you note takers. Peace is most deeply Christ himself, over in Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. Secondly, number two, the Lord, our baseline peace, wants us to know that peace and hope flow from believing God. Peace and hope flow from believing God. Romans 15, verse 13 puts it this way. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope. My friends, to believe God is more than just acknowledge his existence, to believe that he's exists. It's about trusting him, believing and trusting that God has got this. He's got us. He knows what he's doing. My friends, when we can't really understand what he's doing, when he can't see his hands at work sometimes, and it feels like he's being silent and not doing anything. Well, when you can't see his hands, you can still see his heart. It is his heart that you can trust. If you believe God has got a heart to cover us, that he's got a heart to take care of things and keep us on a need-to-know basis, when we can come to the place that we can believe God that deeply, peace and hope will flow from our believing God. Oh, I love that. Sometimes hard to do that, though, when things are flashing all around you and tumultuous all around you and all that. It's hard to believe. God, do you have this or not? Do you know what's going on? Well, I know you know, but it just doesn't feel like it. Yeah, I get that. I get that. Oh, but believe him. Trust him. He's got this. He's got you. Now, here's number three. Peace from God is not of this world. I love how it's written over in John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now, we're going to get into some touchy spots here, because here's the thing. If we were to get real honest with ourselves, isn't it true that sometimes when we're really frustrated or we're hurt, we're dealing with a lot of pain, emotional pain or frustration or uncertainty or even in bitterness or anger or resentment, all those things. Well, we kind of can go to the world for its entertainment to get distracted from our pain. We can fall prey to addictions. It's kind of like the morphine method. We go to all different kinds of addictions to try to soothe our pain, and or we get numbed out. We try to numb out from the pain and just kind of get closed down and shut down. Listen, the world can offer all kinds of distractions and entertaining things to do, and its own set of steps to peace and stuff like that. The addictions can be there. They're not going to deliver, are they? And yet there's the Lord, the presence of the Lord for those that are believers within us. And he's reminding us, it's my peace that I give to you. It's not as the world gives. It's how I do it. It's far deeper. It's like it's in the depths of the ocean. So there can be a hurricane up above. But if you're deep into the ocean, you don't feel near the impact as those who are above the waterline. Go deep in the Lord. His peace is far deeper than this world can offer. All right, so we're talking about how peace is most deeply Christ himself. Number two, peace and hope flow from believing God. Number three, peace from God is not of this world. Here's number four. Peace flows from a mind set on the Spirit. Do you set your mind on the Spirit of things? I hope you're more about the Spirit of things rather than the letter of the law. It's the Spirit of the law. Rather than the spirit of this age, it's the Spirit of the Lord Peace flows from a mindset on the spirit. Romans 8:6 puts it this way: for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. You know, one writer put it this way: you can only focus on one thing at a time. If your eyes are darting to and fro and all kinds of things, you cannot focus on the one thing that will really give you peace at any place and at any time, and that's Jesus Himself. Have you cultivated the reflex to focus up on the spirit of things, on Jesus? Not the wind and the waves like Peter did. Remember, at first he was walking on the water when his eyes were focusing on one thing, Jesus. But when he started letting his eyes dart about to the wind and the waves and the struggles, that's when he started sinking. There's so much more to say about this, and that's why I think you'll enjoy the series. But that gives you the idea, my friends. We can only focus on one thing at a time. So what are you focusing on when you're struggling? On your plight, on your pain, on the other people, on what's happened to you, on the circumstances? Oh, there's no peace there. But if your mind is set on the spirit, not the flesh, on the spirit of the Lord Jesus Himself, oh, that's when you can find your peace in the midst of the wind and the waves of this life. Number five is that peace is spread by God's peacemakers. Now, this gives us a whole new hue. Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus in the Beatitudes, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he says this: blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you come to the place in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ that He can use you as a peacemaker wherever you go, wherever you are? Have you been abiding in Him so much that you have a spirit of peace that dominates your heart and your countenance so that wherever you go, you are a peacemaker? And then when you open to speak to a situation as God may lead, it's coming from a heart of peace that is secure, not one that is insecure, trying to win an argument or win a fight or get your way. You can put it this way: are you more of a thermostat or a thermometer when you go into a room? You know, a thermometer will reflect the temperature of the room. And if it's hot and angry and all that stuff, and you soak that up, then you will respond in kind. That's not being a peacemaker. But when you're so at peace in the Lord and your journey with the Lord and you enter into a hot place, you're the thermostat that can help bring it back down to a more comfortable level, a more rational, or even better, a spiritual and gracious and humble level. Do you set the temperature where you go, or do you reflect it? Oh man, we talk a lot about this in the series, but peace is spread by God's peacemakers, and for those of us who are cultivating the art and the practice of abiding in Him, practicing the presence of the Lord, we can be the thermostat. We can be the peacemakers wherever we go. Here's number six now. The Lord, our baseline peace, shows us that peace flows when we build up one another. Do you build up other people, or do you tear them down? Not just verbally, but even internally. Do you tend to fall to the trick of the enemy to, in your heart, look down on others and be critical of others to make yourself feel better? Oh, I hope not. Peace flows when we build up one another, not just verbally, but also in heart. And when you do it in heart, it will come out verbally from a pure place, and it has all the more impact of building up the people around you, encouraging them. Romans 14, verse 19 puts it this way: so then, when we pursue the things which make for peace, when we build up one another. Do you build up one another? That's the thing that makes peace. You know, people experience so many difficult things in their life, broken engagements, for example. I remember years ago, one of our sons had a couple of broken engagements that he broke off, saw that wasn't the right thing, and he was feeling a little, you know, down about that. This was years ago, and the Lord just said, son, go build him up. And I said, hey, son, you know, I know that you may look back at the broken engagements and feel kind of embarrassed and self-conscious about that, but you know what? Those aren't badges of shame. Those are badges of honor. You made a hard choice in the Lord that was best for both you and that former fiance, both of them. And oh, how he received that. And it changed the whole trajectory of how he viewed himself and his hopes for a future mate, which the Lord did bring, and they've been married many years now. We have 3 grandchildren through them now, and our other 2 sons have their sets. We have 7 grandchildren, love that. But listen, peace flows when we build up one another. Look for opportunities to bind up the brokenhearted, to encourage the discouraged, to help them hold their heads up in the Lord. Wow, what an opportunity. Peace flows when we build up one another. And by the way, when people are building you up and encouraging you, receive it. Don't just, thanks, whatever. No, receive it. It's the Lord sending you the encouragement you need when you may be down. You can't give what you don't receive. So when the Lord sends it your way, receive it. Receive the love of others, the encouragement of others. Let them encourage you, my friends, and then you go thou and do likewise. Well, here's 7. Peace offered is not always received. Got to understand that. Peace offered is not always received. Luke 10:5-6 says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it'll return to you. Now, don't let this discourage you. People will not receive the peace that you're offering, the blessing you're offering. There's PTSD, there's distrust, there are deep wounds, people get triggered. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people cannot easily receive the peace that you offer. Don't be discouraged and don't stop offering it. Now, you don't want to be a pest, but you do want to be the gracious host who constantly offers hors d'oeuvres at this party called life, the hors d'oeuvres of encouragement, the hors d'oeuvres of the gospel, the hors d'oeuvres of blessing. Keep offering even when people don't receive it. Now here's 8. Peace flows from honoring parents. Oh, I love this one. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. When you honor your parents and you receive their teaching and their encouragement and their love and you honor them, oh man, it is going to be a blessing and peace on down the road. There are so many prisons filled with people with father wounds and bitterness and anger, resentment, rejection, and all. Perfectionist moms can inadvertently discourage people, and yet there are no perfect parents, my friends. There are none. I certainly wasn't one. My wife wasn't. We made mistakes. We had to make plenty of course corrections along the way, but we loved on our kids. There were laughter in our walls. We did do our best to encourage them and understand that they were different and we didn't compare them with each other. And if you have parents that are doing their best, honor them and it will be peace to you. Now, 9. The Lord, our baseline peace, wants us to know that peace is possible even in battle. Peace is possible even in battle. Psalm 55:18. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for there are many who strive with me. My friends, spiritual warfare is a very real thing. The enemy is trying to take you down, and he will use hurt and wounded people. He would even use some evil people to come after you. But take heart. The Lord is our shield and our fortress. He can give us peace even in the midst of battle. Similarly is 10. 10, peace is possible in the midst of tribulation. Now, this is a little different than battle. Battle is when people are coming after you or the enemy is coming after you, the spiritual warfare dynamic. Tribulation is there are hardships in life. Things just happen. John 16:33 says this, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Listen, COVID hit us several years back, and then we have hurricanes that come through, and we have storms, and we have tornadoes, and there are floods, and there are wildfires, and there are wars all around the world, and there's a cancer the culture that comes up, figuratively or even literally. There are a lot of medical challenges we face, financial challenges we face, social divides. I mean, there's a lot of tribulation in this world, a lot of different reasons. But here's the point. We'll never come to a place where all of that can be fixed and line up. Never has been, never will be. Don't look for that. But in the midst of it, in the midst of battle, number nine, in the midst of tribulation, number 10, we can have peace in Christ Himself. He's got all this. He's got us in the midst of it. He knows what's best. Wow. Well, here's number 11. Peace and safety come from God. Psalm 4:8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Are you like me and sometimes at night you go to sleep and you got motor mind over stuff that's happening in your life, and what are we going to do here, and what does God have in mind there, and what are the best options, and is this going to turn around, and it's over and over and over your mind? Well, you know what? That's when you just take a deep breath and say, Lord, I give all that up to you. I give you the future. I give you the present. I give you my heart. I give you my struggle. You got this. You got this. Peace and safety come from God. Number 12, peace and strength come from God. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I love the story of Jesus in that stormy boat, you know, when he's sleeping in the front and the disciples are going nuts. Lord, Lord, wake up. It's a storm. Well, okay. And he calms the storm. He has a way of being able to calm us down when we seek him out. He gives us his quiet strength in the midst of storms. Now, number 13, peace flows from rejoicing and like-mindedness. 2 Corinthians 13:11 puts it this way. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. You know, when you find friends and you find a church family where you can rejoice in the things that are worth rejoicing in, when you grieve in the things that we need to grieve with and everything in between, and you are living this out as a body of Christ, as friends, as family, God uses those things. He's molding us. He's comforting us. He's sharing his mind and peace with us. It's a marvelous thing. Peace flows from rejoicing and like-mindedness. So don't neglect cultivating relationships. Don't neglect being part of a church family, because when you can rejoice together in like-mindedness in the Lord, there's great peace that comes from that. Don't be a loner out there. The enemy can separate you out. You can lose the fire, kind of like a coal being taken out of a fire pit. You take one coal out of a fire pit and it's all blazing and hot. You put it out by itself on the sidewalk, it's just a matter of time before it loses the heat. And it's cold as it can be. And that's what the enemy does with us. He wants to take us, give us reasons to get out of churches and do it on our own. He's just won the battle. You're going to cool off without the shared heat of those together that comes in the form of rejoicing, like-mindedness, servant-heartedness, and all the things that come in a healthy body of Christ. Number 14, peace flows from prayer with thanksgiving, a classic in Philippians 4, verses 6 and following. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not being thankful for everything, but in everything, you can be thankful because God ultimately has got it, and he's got you. That's because number 15 tells us peace comes from loving God's ways. Do you love God's ways? Psalm 119:165. Those who love your law have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. Now, law doesn't mean the tax code. It just means God's ways. Those who love God's ways will have great peace. Don't resent God's ways. They're far beyond what we can gather and understand. We're on a need-to-know basis, and peace comes, and we're plenty good with that. I love that. We can sit in the back seat, let him drive the car. He's got the map. and he'll let you know things as you need to know. Peace comes from loving God's ways, letting him drive the car. God is not our co-pilot. He's a pilot, if you want to use a plane analogy. And then finally, we wrap this up by saying, peace flows from practicing the ways of God. Philippians 4:9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. It's not enough just to believe it and be passive. He wants you to act on what you say you believe, and that's when peace really comes. Baby steps, my friend. Listen, I know that it can be overwhelming. You don't even want to get out of bed. You just feel like everything is a duty and a chore, and you just kind of drudge through life. Listen, it's in the drudgery in between the high points that the real omnipotent power of God is manifest when we take those baby steps in the right direction as he prompts us, as he urges us, as he draws us to himself. Peace flows from practicing the ways of God. And with every baby step you take in that kind of obedience, not in the command sense, but because you love him, oh my soul, peace starts to flow. Well, that's just a brief overview of this series. I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org, my friends, because, this is one of those series I got a lot of feedback from people about that really, really helped them in some dark times in their lives. The Lord is our baseline peace. Wow. Lord, thank you for being our baseline peace. You're always there for us. You can always come and just sit at your feet, even fall at your feet and say, Lord, help. And you love that. And you will lift us up. And you will encourage us. And you will give us peace. Thank you for being our baseline peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, your baseline peace.